great thou art. How great you are. How wonderful you are. How magnificent is our Lord. Amen. Isn't it the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you? Praise be unto the Lord. Well, what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Did we have a camp meeting here over the weekend, or did we have a camp meeting? Well, welcome back to camp meeting tonight. We're going to have a good time in the Lord tonight too. Praise the Lord, Brother Dwight Hall and Sister Hall. I believe you're back with us in the service tonight. He's going to be singing for us. I said, you sing whatever you want to as long as Saddle Up's in the mix. So I think he's going to be able to do that for us. And well, we're just glad you're here. Most of all, we're glad that the Lord's here. I'd hate to go anywhere where the Lord wasn't welcome, wouldn't you? If he's not welcome, then I'm not welcome. That's the way I feel about it. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big old smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Play a little more of it, if you will, boys. Play it. Give me something. God bless you. It's good to see you, buddy. Good to see you. God bless you. Good to see you. Good to see you, buddy.
He goes to brother.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Ernie Villanueva, been here many times. He is very sick with problems in his feet, hard for him to walk, almost impossible. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Ernie that the Lord would give him strength. Just a wonderful brother in the Lord, and we certainly appreciate him. Just pray that God would give him a speedy recovery. I want to pray for Eddie Jablonski, who has been having chest pain. So let's pray for that need tonight. The Lord would touch him and give him healing in his body. Brother Terry Horn offers this testimony tonight. My daughter Julie called today and especially requested that I thank all the congregation of Happy Valley for the prayers that were offered up for her. They removed the breathing tube, then took x-rays, and the doctor said that her lung has healed up nicely. We know that prayer changes things. Thanks again for your prayer. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Gary and Sister Lona, I want us to remember a Sister Gwendolyn Farmer tonight in prayer. She is currently on a ventilator. This is a very close friend of ours and the greatest prayer warrior that we have ever met. So we want to remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be with her and give her a speedy recovery. We know God is certainly able. Brother Baker says to please pray for his wife, Sister Christine. She is having a lot of pain in her legs, so let's remember her tonight. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy's aunt, Bernita Clark, who is having major heart surgery in the morning. Certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Sister Jan Winters wants to thank everyone for their prayers and their cards. She's back in the service with us tonight, so praise the Lord for that. Please remember Brother Tracy Brizendine in your prayers. He really needs prayer, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Tracy. His health is just really took a downward spiral, but we know that God's able to raise him up, and Satan can't do nothing with him till God's finished. So let's just pray that the Lord would help our brother. Sister Ruth Ann Yance says she has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. And Brother Sean Williams sends this in. Brothers and sisters, this is Brother Sean Williams again. I want to give testimony to what God has done for me and my family. So far, I have asked for prayers in reference to finding a job that my family, and there was family being false accused, and to help to be delivered of this terrible situation my family is going through. And God is bringing them through every situation, gave him a job, and his family's been delivered. So we want to praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. And he's requesting prayer for a Brian Duncan, that the Lord would do some great things in his life. He's trusting the Lord for deliverance of some things. And, well, we just want to commit all these things unto the Lord. We know that God is more than able, don't we? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. I want you to continue to remember our little granddaughter, Emma, in prayer. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know God's going to work it all out for his glory. And I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to rest in that the Lord's going to work every situation out in her little life. I know God is bigger than the devil. I know God's more powerful than the devil. And I know the devil is just a little wimp. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe he is? If you could see him for what he really is, you'd laugh at him almost all the time. Instead of him laughing at us, we'd be laughing at him. I love the Lord tonight, don't you? Are you glad to be a Christian? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad he loves you too? Let's stand tonight. Do you have an unspoken prayer request? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? We're believing God tonight that God is going to move on behalf of these needs. Brother Brad Yance, come tonight. Take us to the Lord. Let's invite his presence into this service and ask him to have his divine will. All these requests tonight.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you again for another opportunity we have to come back in his house, Lord. Father, truly how great thou art. Lord Jesus, you see every hand that was raised and the need behind each hand. Lord, we pray that you just move for them. Lord, many requests I hold in my hand. Can't remember them all, but God, you know each one that was read. Father, I pray may your tender hand of mercy just go to each one of these requests. Father, thank you for the testimonies, and Lord, we expect more from these. Lord, we pray that you be with the service, anoint Louie and the congregation singing, the special singing. Most of all, anoint Brother Donnie, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Father. Give us strength for our journey. We just love you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother Brad, God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Let me make just a few announcements before we sing tonight. There will be a minister's meeting up at Brother Bill Yancey's church on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. All ministers are invited to be there at Brother Bill's on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Remember that. Trustees meeting after service tonight in the men's nursery, so remember that. There will be a wedding shower for Ruth Krause and Philip Priest this coming Sunday, September the 15th at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Remember that. Now, this is something that I want all of you to listen to in particular. This is a drop-off household shower for Brother Gene and Sister Linda Kress, our brother and sister that lost their home and all their belongings here just a few weeks ago. They're going to be a household shower on their behalf Sunday, September the 22nd, 3:30 till 5 p.m. at the Church Fellowship Hall. There'll be a table set up in the Fellowship Hall for gifts dropped off during Saturday and Sunday services on September the 21st and 22nd. That is an event you can't be here for the shower. You can drop those things off. The registered Walmart. Drinks and desserts, a shower, questions, see Sister Deanna Glenn. Anyone wishing to donate larger household items, that will be accepted. Please call the Cresses. The information is on the bulletin board as far as a phone number. So let's rally with our brother and sister that the Lord would just provide all their needs. He's got it all. He owns it all anyway. Amen. I don't know about you, but the way the services around here have just keep been escalating and moving on up. I believe we're getting closer to something real, real good going to happen for all of us. Are you glad you're part of it? We ain't all of it, but thank God we're part of it. Look at somebody and say, are you part of it? Sing it, buddy. Oh, rising up. We're rising up. Well, we're a New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. We're rising up. Oh, we're a New Testament church rising up. Sing it now.
As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold.
Oh, yes.
They turned that old world upside down. Tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. The demon spirits were cast out. In a jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band.
Oh, yes, sir. Tell us about it, buddy.
If you think it's all long gone,
amen.
All the miracles are done. I have some good news to bring to you. In this last days He'll pour of His Spirit forth.
Yes, sir.
Like a mighty eagle, Your strength He'll renew. It's all long gone. All the miracles are done.
No, sir.
I have some good news to bring to you.
We'd like to bring to you tonight.
In this last days,
He's gonna pour
of His Spirit more. Like a mighty eagle, You strip here with Him.
Holy. Let's sing this little chorus tonight. The only reason we can stand here and be a part of something so magnificent is because we're serving such a graceful, merciful, holy God. Not our goodness, but it's all because of Him. Are you glad you're part of Him tonight? Are you glad you belong to Him tonight? For He is. I want you to sing with everything you got now.
He's holy. Holy is our Lord. Yes, He's holy.
Help me, buddy. Magnify Him tonight. Well, you're singing so good tonight. You're worshiping the Lord so good, but that clock won't stand still for us. So I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Brother Dwight Hall is going to come, give us a couple of songs, has some new CDs, I believe, that he's placed over in the library. I believe it'll be a real blessing to you. And, well, we're thankful. Give our brother a good hand as he comes tonight. Bless you, buddy. It's good to see you. We're glad he's back, aren't we? Same, buddy.
I sure appreciate being here tonight, and I'm just glad for all of you fine people and your prayers, and I'm glad for all the trials we're going through. It seemed like the flood we went through, it just seemed like the Lord was floating me out, I guess, and to sing, to be a blessing. That's what we want to be. Amen. I really want to say this, that really enjoy the ministry of Brother Donnie. My wife called Sister Janet Payne and said, would you send us some CDs of his preaching? And we've really been feasting. So I pray this song is a blessing to your heart.
God bless you, brother.
have made the stars to shine just for me. He made the desert sand, the mountains and the sea, the beauty of creation. My eyes, they plainly see that God made it all for you, for me. God made the sunset in the western sky. When I behold its beauty, I can't help but cry. If God is in your heart, then you can see Him too. Yes, He made it all for me, for you. You believe it? God, He give me life. He took me in control. He done a work inside the changing of my soul. A brand new creation. I now am free. Yes, He did it all. For you, for me. Yes, He did it all for you and for me. Are y'all saddled up and ready to hear the word? I'm saddled up. All right, let's saddle up. Praise the Lord. Looking back on the trail, it's been a lot of years, sometimes a lot of joy came, sometimes a trail of tears, but it's been worth it all to know Jesus and His love, and one day very soon I'll join the trail boss up above. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. On this trail, I've been so blessed to write a song. Every now and then, I write them to some heart. They must belong. They say there's healing in music, and I believe it's so. God wants to make you happy, so saddle up and let us go. Sing it with me. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. Thank you, Jesus. Saddle up. I love you. God bless you.
Appreciate you. I love you too, buddy. God bless you. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. Sing it now. We'll learn this. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. One more time as Brother Donnie comes. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. Sing it as he comes. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me.
I'm glad I'm ready. Yeah. I'm kind of getting practice ready to ride horses. Revelation 19, I'm coming back with him. In a mighty army. Praise the Lord. Let's turn together tonight, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you happy to be a Christian tonight?
Yes, sir.
What a privilege it is for us to be gathered together in the house of God. In the name of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. I want to speak to you tonight on adorned in modesty. Adorned in modesty. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now, I've often wondered how a woman pastor would deal with that verse.
Amen.
Can't you see why God looks at the church, and considers them spiritual prostitutes? Because he gives his word, and they take experience or seminary or whatever over the top of that word, but they still claim to be his bride. I don't want to be like them. I want to be pure and clean and acceptable in his sight. Let's bow our heads together and ask Him to help us tonight in the Word. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much, Father, that You've made a provision for us in this day of darkness, in this day of trouble, everywhere we look, Lord, politically, financially, economically, the world is in a terrible, terrible shape. But we know that it has to get this way before it gets better. And we know there'll never be no real peace until You come back in the millennium. Lord, I pray that You would help us as Your people, that we can be in that preparation time, that we will be ready. For as an hour as we think not, then that's when You'll come. Speak to us tonight by Your word, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I wonder what Paul would think today. If Paul would walk up and down our streets, going to Walmart, to the grocery stores, to any of the local places, if he would take a journey into the churches, the denominational churches, the independent churches, the message churches, and Paul would see the way that men and women dress, the way they behave themselves, and he would look at it and see what is acceptable today and called Christianity. And then he would compare what he saw whenever he was here and then look at what he sees now. I wonder if he would call them godly, modest, dressed with sobriety, holiness, and that which pertained to a godly woman. Or would he look at them and say, you are dressed in the way prostitutes dress then. So if people in their mind think that is acceptable to God, and that's the way that God looks at it, it shows really how far off of the word and how polluted that people's thinking has become. Now we know that actually the church, the culmination of the church, the going into the bride, is getting a wife that God will live with in that status of wife for eternity. So the woman then that leaves the world, the special called out, the tithing of the earth, that will leave the earth in the rapture, will be the future homemaker of the Lord Jesus. Now you can hear Brother Bram paralleling this in choosing of a bride, and he talks about a man when a man goes to picking out a wife and he gives him advice of what a man should look for, character, and how the woman should dress and all that. And he says, and he runs, he said, and then a parallel of how that the church is so far away from the spiritual homemaker that Jesus Christ is looking for. So when you listen to choosing of a bride, you hear the natural man choosing a bride, and you hear the spiritual man, the Lord Jesus, also choosing a bride. So he parallels it to how that a man, if he would look at a sex queen, a man that would be a beauty queen in this day, or a sex queen all dressed up sexy and all that, he said it shows what that man has in his mind for his future home. And then he says the same with the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus is looking for a homemaker for the future home. So then the modern church could certainly not be the type of homemaker that the Lord Jesus would want to raise his children. Because he said a man that would marry a sex queen or just a modern beautiful Ricketta, he said you can imagine how she is going to raise those children. So if a woman dresses that way, ungodly and all that, is she going to dress that way and then teach her children to dress holy? As a woman who doesn't think it's wrong to wear mini skirts and pants and tight tops and all that sort of thing, if she dresses that way, is she going to teach her daughters to come to church in dresses? Is she going to teach her daughters to dress in skirts and long dresses? You know better than that. She's not going to do that. She is going to, by word and by example, to teach her daughters to dress the same way she does. So if the church dresses naked before God, according to Revelation 3, and they're standing there in the Laodicean church age with the gray paper in front of them, spiritually, that's the way God sees them. And if they're dressing that way before God, then will not any that come and join with them, will not the church teach them the same way?
If the men don't think there's nothing wrong in dressing and acting like women and doing that sort of thing, are they going to teach their sons opposite of that? They're not. And if the pastors dress that way, are they going to teach their people opposite of that? Of course not. They're going to teach them the same thing, and they're going to say, oh, God looks at the heart. It don't make no difference what you come to church like or how you dress. It don't make no difference. Well, it does make a difference to God. To Laodiceans, it don't make a difference. To hogs, it don't make no difference how you dress. To hogs. But we're not hogs. We're children of God, born again. So whenever we look and think then that God wants His bride, His future homemaker, to be a reflection of His purity. For what kind of a woman that a man marries, now we know that a man can certainly be deceived by a woman the same way that a woman could be deceived by a man. But if a man knows what kind of woman that he's marrying, and then he would choose her. As a matter of fact, Brother Bam goes on to tell us in that same sermon that if a man knows that a woman is not fit to be his wife and he marries her anyway, then it's his own fault. Amen. That's right. So it'd be the same with the Lord Jesus. If the Lord Jesus knows the church is rebellious, they will not take His word. They pick and choose and pick and choose and pick and choose. And then He will take her in the rapture and consummate her with a body change. Then He has no right to complain if in the millennium they're still dressed like a bunch of prostitutes. In the future home, they're going down the streets and they're lying and they're dealing with all kinds of mess. He ain't got nobody to blame but Himself. But you know what? He won't marry that type of a woman. He'll not take such a woman, because whoever He takes in the rapture is the consummation of His choice. Oh, you said salvation. Oh, no. Salvation is not the consummation of His choice. Salvation is open to whosoever will. Salvation is not the consummation of predestination and election. Salvation goes beyond the Lamb's book of life over into the book of life and offers to those that are even not of His own genos, His own kind. But the proof, the consummation of His choice is the rapture, which will be the Mount Zion showdown. Amen. That's the proof of really who is whose. Is that right? Now notice then, those that accept the salvation, of course this is what the church wants to do, put everybody on the same basis, but we've already proved it over and over again that God has a separation of people. He separated Lot and Abraham. He's always had a group that would be saved and a group that was closer and dearer to His heart. It's the same way with the church and with the bride. Now with that then, the true bride will reflect by divine modesty, not just natural modesty, but a divine modesty. And because of that, God will adorn her with a body change. Now, those that look at modesty on the outside and make fun of it, they don't realize they are keeping themselves away from a body change. You cannot laugh at modesty in the Scripture and expect God to clothe you with a new body. Now, modesty is to be the spirit of adornment, because it is going to reflect a purchase possession of what God made it to be. So modesty is to be the spirit of all adornment, because the nature of the being adorned is a sacred nature. Now look at what it is. If we claim to be Christian, whether men or women, then we should dress and behave and talk and have our dealings every day of our life, not just on church day, but every day of our life, that we are reflecting what? Something of divine nature on the inside. So then if we put on something, what do you think a person would dress up like a clown? Do you think they would feel like they was a preacher? If they had on a big red nose and a red wig and they had on big breeches and big old long shoes and they were dressed up like a clown. Now, would you expect them to get in the pulpit with a Bible and take a text? Why not? Would you expect them to act like a clown if they're dressed like a clown? Answer me. All right, if a man comes in, he's got on a pair of cowboy boots and he's got on a Western shirt and a big old hat and he's got a lasso and all that sort of thing, are you going to say, that's a lawyer? Really? You're going to say, that's a cowboy, right? Now, how are you making that observation? Have you seen his driver's license? Did you look out in the car, out of the outside and see if he had a quarter horse tied up there or a Ford? So you're making that observation by clothes? And then you're going to try to tell me clothes don't matter? Don't tell me that, because I don't believe it. And really, you don't believe it either. It's like I said to you this weekend, if clothes don't matter, why is it when folks backslide, they want to get away from this message, one of the first things they do is change the clothes they wear? If it don't matter, why not wear the same clothes you did when you come to this church? Because it does matter. Because you want to get rid of that identity. You don't want to look like us no more. Praise the Lord. Oh my, I tell you one thing, I am so happy tonight to be a child of God. I am so happy to be identified with this message. I am so glad. I'm glad the Lord Jesus identifies me as a believer. I'm glad you saints do. I'm glad preachers around the world identifies me as being a message believer. But I'll tell you one thing. I am so glad that the devil identifies me as being identified with Brother Branham. I say to you tonight, I am totally guilty, devil. I am guilty by association. I am guilty by predestination. I am guilty by what I preach. I am a genuine Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized message preacher. I believe Brother Branham was a prophet of God with the word of God, sent to bring a message of God to get the bride of God out of this world. And I am so glad the devil identifies me as being a message preacher. Are you proud to be identified with such a message? Hallelujah. It's good for brothers and sisters to know you, but I like the identification that they said about Paul. Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? I like it when the devil knows who I am. Oh, yes. Now watch. There are a few questions that I'd like to ask. So we want to present it this way tonight. Does your appearance, the sisters and brothers as well, think of this. Does your appearance represent an attitude of sacrifice or one of indulgence? Now think. Whatever we are on the inside will reflect itself by our behavior, but not only our behavior, but by the type of clothes that we wear. Oh, you say, that don't make no sense. It don't. Well, let me ask you something. I've been down in the basement today listening to tapes, and I'm building something down in the basement, an entertainment center, and I had on a pair of blue jeans that had glue on it, early American stain on one side, amber dye on another, a shellac over here. I have on a blue t-shirt, a real long blue t-shirt. Shirt, and it had yellow and green and blue and white. Would that have been okay for you all if I'd have come out with that on tonight and preached? Would you all have deemed it appropriate for my position? What if you felt like that he, I believe Brother Donnie could have been a little bit more respectful. I mean, he looked like he's drug out of the garbage can. Truly, that's what I look like when I'm doing down there. But I can also assure you, I'm not going to wear this down there in the basement when I do all that staining and veneering and gluing and all that. Why? These clothes would not be appropriate. So clothes reflect an appropriation of who you are. To be honest with you, the church dressed the way they are, it's very appropriate for the tribulation period. It's very appropriate for their place in the vision. Because their position in the vision so embarrassed Brother Branham and so humiliated Brother Branham that he felt sick. You imagine, in a vision, he felt sick and he thought he was cast out. Because he thought this was the best he could do. When he saw the church dressed up like that filthy prostitute. And that's what he thought. He said, there's no need for me to even try. I might as well quit. He said, but all of a sudden, I heard that music and I heard it come back again. Amen. That was not his identity. That was not the product of Malachi 4. The product of Malachi 4 was that bride coming back around again. Amen. Paul and Peter and James and John, they was able to produce that godly bride. But reformers down through the church ages, they couldn't do it. But God said, behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. Amen. It wasn't just the coming of Brother Branham, but it was the second coming of the bride. Hallelujah. The second coming of the bride. That's me and you. Brother, sister. Now watch this. Does your appearance represent an attitude of sacrifice or one of indulgence? Paul says this in Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So we present our bodies a sacrifice to God. Will God accept a female body with a miniskirt on? What about a tight pair of breeches? What about a man with a dress? Now see, we laugh at that because we've got so used to seeing women in breeches that don't bother us no more. But in God's eyes, there's no difference. Now watch, we are to present our bodies a sacrifice, so it's not on self-indulgence that we present it, but on sacrifice. Watch again. When people observe your appearance, is their impression one of holiness? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, let's look at the meaning of the word holiness. Holiness comes from the Greek word, hagismios, which is sanctification, consecration, purification, sanctification of heart and life. Now, this is not something that the Spirit of God does, as if though people look at it, well, it's not what I do anyway, but God does all this for me. You need to read a little farther in the Bible. Now, salvation and those types of things, of course, the Lord does for us, and we cannot do it. But there is an element of holiness and sanctification and consecration that must be done by us, or it will not be done at all. Now, watch him. So does your emphasis on appearance indicate a love for the world? When people look at you, and they look and behold you and see who you are, really, they're looking as who you are by what you wear. Notice in 1 John 2:5, love not the world, verse 15 rather, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. So then our appearance can reflect a love of the heavenly world or a love of this present tense world. You see, it's that I heard Brother Ben preaching it today and ashamed in 1965, that people are not ashamed to say they're identified in a denomination. But many of them are ashamed to say they have the Holy Ghost. Now you realize as we go on in time, it's going to be more and more of a shame when we say we believe the message of the hour. Right? He said, are you ashamed of your Pentecostal experience? Some message folks are. You're looking at a preacher tonight that is not ashamed that I still speak in tongues. I didn't just talk in tongues whenever I was a boy. I still do. I still depend on the anointing. I still love to feel the presence of God. I am not ashamed of my Pentecostal experience. I am not ashamed of my messenger of this age. Right? So have you allowed your appearance to be spotted by the world? James 1:27. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. To keep himself unspotted from the world. Oh, you mean this is a work that is separate from the work of the Spirit. Now you see the way people want to present it today is that, well, everything I need is in Christ and he does everything and he presents me holy before God and that's why what I look at, what I do, it doesn't really matter at all. But that's contrary to scripture. Now here James does not say the Holy Ghost will keep you unspotted from the world, but to keep himself unspotted from the world, which is aspios, without spot, spotless, free from censure, irreproachable, free from vice, unsullied. Now, if you and I live a life that is free from vice, it will not be the Holy Ghost alone that will do it. We must keep ourselves unspotted from certain things. So whenever we would wear a certain type of clothes or even have a certain type of attitude. Now remember, a woman can look modest on the outside and a man can look modest too. But their spirit and their behavior on the inside still does not link together with modesty. So modesty is not just the adornment of the outside, but it must be coupled together with our spirit as well. You brothers and sisters know as well as I do that there are girls and women around the message and they may look the part, but yet their spirit is as worldly as it can be. The way they walk, the way they hold themselves, and the way that they do, even though they may look as modest as they can be on the outside, but on the inside, it's a serpent. Woo. Does your appearance suggest a friendship with the world? An association, that by association, and looking at a similarity that, okay, here's a woman with pants on, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, and this one's a Baptist, this one's a Methodist, this one's an infidel, this one's a sinner, this one's a Catholic, this one's a Lutheran, and yet looking at them all, they pretty much all look the same. They've all got bobbed hair, earrings, makeup, and they all look exactly the same. So where is the Word of God manifesting in those Christians' lives? Come out from among them and be a separate people, and I'll receive you, says the Lord. Now notice it's not the Holy Ghost that's doing that, but He is telling them, you come out from among them. God always, from the time that He dealt with His people, the people of Israel, whenever you met a Jew, there was no question in your mind that that man, woman, boy, or girl was a Jew. And it wasn't because you heard the Hebrew language, because many of them were in Assyria, they were in Babylon, they were in Persia. But one way you knew them was by the way they dressed. God said, I want you to dress different, I want you to eat different. And brother, you could see a Jew a mile away and know that's a Jew. But today you look at Christians, you're not sure which one's an infidel, which one's a Pentecostal, which one's a Baptist, which one's a message person. My, James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I'll tell you one thing, if the devil's calling me buddy tonight, I'm hitting this altar. I don't want to be on speaking terms with that sorry outfit. So whenever you meet someone or someone meets you, are they first attracted to you, your outward adornment, or is there something so deep within you which you cannot get at Walmart or TJ Maxx or Belk's, something that is from within you that personifies really who you are? Now, whether they're a Christian or not, no matter who they are, and yet, but is your identity on the clothes that you wear? For many people, it is. But Peter says it this way, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. Now watch this from a Bible commentary. For their adornment, they should not emphasize the external, but the internal. They should dress modestly, with decency and propriety. These terms stress not so much the absence of sexual suggestiveness, though it is included, but rather an appearance that is simple, moderate, judicious, and free from ostentation. The specifics Paul mentioned, bordered hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, are not wrong in themselves, but become inappropriate when they indicate misplaced values. Satan knows if he can get folks to just misplace it. So they focus all their time on the outside. My, they want this hair in place and that one in place and this and that and the other. Don't even pray before they come to church. Some of you don't even read your Bible. You stand outside and run your jaws 5 minutes before church and come in and sit down. You make no preparation for your soul and spend 45 minutes getting your body ready. There's a lack of understanding somewhere, friends. Do we get our bodies all fancied up to meet God? No, we do it to meet one another. Some of you would, no way would you come to church with your hair not combed. Or no way would you come without your shoes being polished and looking really nice. And yet we make hardly no preparation for the soul. It makes no sense. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. in the Ephesian church, these styles may have been associated with the local temple prostitutes. Christians must be careful about letting a pagan culture set their fashions. Do you know when Bob Harrabee started moving into America? In the days of the flappers. The 20s. Started out very rebellious. Totally blasted by the majority of people. Not just preachers and Christians, but the world per se. But once Hollywood picked it up, there you go. Don't you understand why homosexuality is becoming more acceptable all the time? Hollywood got a hold of it. No wonder God will sink that place. The devil moved his headquarters. You know that, don't you? Prophet told us back in the 50s that the devil moved his headquarters over there. Oh, my. Well, if that's where he's operating it from, that kind of tells you something. So what else can we then learn? Look at modesty. Modesty has more to do with just the way we dress. It has to do with the way we act. A woman can think so highly of herself in her plain clothes, drab collars, and no makeup and jewelry, and yet not be modest at all. How so? Shamefacedness and sobriety are character issues. Now, a woman may never cut her hair. She may never put on makeup, but yet lack that which Paul was trying to project from the hidden man of the heart. How many have we been deceived by, friends, that looked the part? How many preachers have acted the part, and yet they missed the real character on the inside? Character is something, of course, that we know that we cannot buy. It's something that must be molded and made. Paul gives us the characteristics of the ideal Christian woman in the church. Modesty. Paul is not saying that the Christian woman must wear all clothes. Sisters, you don't have to go to Mennonite yard sales. It's not necessary that you take a yearly trip up through Pennsylvania and Ohio and try to hit all the Dunkards and the Mennonites and the Amish yard sales. And my, if you're going to do that, I mean, bring you back one of them black buggies. Can a sister dress nice and wear nice clothes? Absolutely. The very word adornment is to be pretty. The prophet told us God wants them to be pretty. It's her desire to be so. But because that desire is there, it'll make it so difficult, especially since the devil controls the designers. And the designers know how to make them to where it enhances the female shape and form. But if you need any help, they still make moo-moos. I can sew a little bit. Oh, Lord, people say, dear God, don't tell me he's going to start wearing or making a dress or something. Now, watch this. Not only modesty, but purity. She professes godliness. Godliness is one of Paul's favorite words. Godliness is simply a shortened form of God-likeness. So how could God show Brother Branham a vision of the church stripped off, and then God say, but I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful that women wear pants. You see, friends, really, a lot of the folks that are so mad at us and so mad at the message and so mad at Brother Branham, they really should be mad at God. Because God allowed the greatest ministry that has ever existed since man began on the earth. And according to many of these defectors, he was a false prophet. So the greatest ministry that has ever been was a false one. You mean God cannot produce a ministry any greater than the devil? So the greatest ministry, the greatest prophet with the most visions, the most healing, and the most supernatural was a false prophet. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't realize God was so bad off. You mean God cannot produce a prophet of God that can outdo anything the devil can do? God cannot produce a church that can outdo anything the devil can do? Maybe we ought to switch sides. How long do false prophets live? Study your Bible and see how long God let Korah live. How long God let Zedekiah live. How long God let many of these live. And why didn't God kill Brother Branham whenever he got off? Because he didn't get off. So you need to pick on God. Well, glory. Now watch to the woman. God wants her to have modesty, purity, and industry as well. She practices good works. Verse 10, later in the letter, chapter 5, 11, verse 14. Paul warns about idle women who wander from house to house and give Satan opportunity to lead them into sin. The best way for a Christian woman to preach is with her life. Now sisters, we will allow women preachers by being livers. That's to live the word. That's right. And also humility. Paul amplifies this commandment just as Satan got a footing in Eden through Eve, so he can get a footing in the local church through some sincere misguided woman. Misguided men can also be a problem. See 1 Timothy 1:20. When the local church meets in assembly, the women are instructed to exercise submission. If they have any questions, rather than interrupt the meeting, they would ask their husbands at home. Of course, again, I'm not sure how a woman preacher would handle that, since her husband sat back here in the congregation. God, glory to God, and she's telling him what to do. Now watch this in 1 Peter 3:3. Whose adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. Now notice the ornamentation. The ornamentation which cannot be bought at Walmart. The ornamentation that God really cherishes is not that every hair is right and oh my, the dress, the everything, the blouse, the skirt, the sweater, it's color-coded so beautiful. As humans, we like that, but that's not so much what God is looking for. But the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of a great price. Now, can a harlot, can a streetwalker have a meek and quiet spirit? She's stubborn. And loud. I'm talking about with her mouth. I'm talking about with her appearance. She's saying volumes and never opening her mouth. Have y'all ever heard a talking billboard? When you drive down the interstate or drive coming to church and you pass one billboard after another, they waving at you. Hey, Jim! 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 It's not vocal at all, is it? It's images, pictures. And yet, it conveys to you a message. Where? In your subconscious. You're driving down Interstate 40 and you see that McDonald's sign with that gigantic big old French fry box and two or three French fries stuck over on the side. It said, are you on empty? And you, man, you was feeling good. And all of a sudden, that sent that subconscious into your subconscious and your belly started growling. I grilled some steelhead trout last night for supper. I took a couple of pictures and sent it to a couple of brothers. One of the brothers sitting here tonight texted back to me and said, my mouth started watering when I seen that picture. Automatic response. Why? Because we're made up that way. So images say something about us. Images say something to us. And never say one thing vocalizing it. Never saying one thing, but because images are such a thing to a human being. So a person can put on an image, oh my, by the way that they dress, and never say one thing. So a woman, it's not just that she dresses right on the outside, but her spirit is reflecting something, and she's saying volumes just by the way she bends over. She's saying volumes by the way she holds herself. Saying volumes by the way she conducts herself as a lady. Now the church, spiritually speaking, there's no way that they were having rock and roll parties, many of them, in the vision when Brother Branham saw them with the gray paper. But he heard them dancing to rock and roll music. They never said one thing. You ever find in the vision where Brother Bram said that they ever said one thing? They never said nothing. The church never said nothing. Or the bride never said nothing. What was it? The imagery. The imagery that was projected in the vision spoke volumes of who they were. And actually where they were going. Lord have mercy. The way they were looking. And here he said, you can imagine the backside when there was nothing on and they went by. And he said he was sick. He said, oh God, all that we've done, all that we've done. And yet, do they say that? Of course they don't say it. But by the way they're reflecting themselves spiritually, that's the way God looks at it. Notice, after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves. Look at part of their adornment. being in subjection unto their own husbands. So part of their adornment was not how long the kastole was, not how long the garment was, but part of their adornment was subjection. This is the bride. Don't you see? This is the bride. Part of our adornment is our subjection to our head, Christ the Word. So we cannot be adorned as the bride. Oh my. If we're not obeying His Word, if we're, I don't like that, I don't care what He said, then we're not adorned, then we cannot go to the wedding. Praise the Lord. Adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You see, my look is saying volumes right now. And so is yours. Oh, yes. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. On the one hand, a woman who is overly sensual in the way she dresses or overdoes the jewelry and makeup adornment can reveal what is in her heart. But so can the plain woman who acts not with a gentle and quiet spirit, who is arrogant and self-righteously judgmental in her heart. Yeah. Right. No, friend, appearance actually is an expression of character. Yeah. Now, when the Lord Jesus came to the earth, He could have come. There's no way any other king could have put on the kingly type of decorum that the Lord Jesus could have. He could have been born a full-grown man, or could have come a full-grown man. Let me say, angels of God could have come down in my great, great diadems around Him and a throne and all kinds of things to come down to the earth. But instead of doing that, He come as a baby, wrapped in swaddling, not a king's robe. Why? It would have been unbecoming to Him to have been wrapped in a purple garment. He come born in a stable, and swaddling clothes is suitable for a stable. Amen. So when they walked in there, they had to look and identify His clothes, told them who He was. Amen. His clothes, what He had on, told them who He was. And it was not that in the mind of the world, but I said, oh, this ain't no king. Who in the world? And the great ancient men come and say, where is He that is born, the King of the Jews? We have seen His star in the east, and we have come to worship Him. You mean they were not staggered when they found a little boy 2 years old or so, and he was not dressed up in royal purple and all that, and yet they brought their gifts and their gold, and he was dressed as a common peasant? He was dressed as a common pauper, but it did not stir them away. That clothes was an identification of who He was. It was an identity of who He was. He came to the world knew Him not. There was no beauty about Him that we should desire Him. My, the things you wear convey a message about whom you are and the things for which you stand. The people around you cannot see your heart, therefore they must read your outward actions and appearance instead. Just as a sad expression, which some of y'all have got tonight, just as a sad expression indicates an inward unhappiness. Now watch this. As a sad expression indicates an inward unhappiness. So what is it whenever we're sad and we look sad? That is the outer clothes, as it were, of something going on in our spirit. Oh, I don't feel good today. I'm hurting. I feel. What is that? That's your countenance that's reflecting there's something wrong. Is that right? Now, when we look at that, is a spiritual clothes. That's why the Bible said that He took away our old sinful garment and gave us a garment of praise. So our praise then is also a reflection of what? Inner joy. Something going on the inside. Just as a sad expression indicates an inward unhappiness, so your appearance and clothing are indications of your inner thoughts attitudes, values, and feelings. Your outward appearance and clothing are an expression of your character. Your appearance reveals to others your commitments and beliefs. Your appearance reveals what you are. Proverbs chapter 7 verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. Her clothes identified her as a harlot. So brother, sister, what do our clothes identify us as? Now, let me share something with you that I found from an apostolic preacher. Since supposedly a lot of folks think we're the only ones, and this is a Brother Branham idea of holiness, let me just totally blow that out of the water and show you that there are apostolic, there are Pentecostal, there's even some Nazarene and some Baptist that believe the Bible. Notice this from this apostolic preacher. The first thing then that a woman are urged to pay attention to in the dress or apparel, three qualifiers mentioned before apparel, modestly, sensibly, and seemly. These three terms are related and their meanings overlap in some ways. Modestly comes from a word that can mean modest in the sense of well-ordered and moderate, hence not excessive, but can also mean proper or suitable. Now listen, suitable. Suitable. We're going to heaven, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You want to go in old greasy work clothes? You want to go out and feed the hogs? Yo, your brothers want to paint, cut the grass, whatever it is you do in your work and get all hot and sweaty and then go straight to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Or do you want to be wearing something suitable? Well, it's the same way. When we're identified by the revealed word that we sit under, we're being washed by the water of the word, or we're coming to church and still retaining our spots. Church is a very serious thing, friends. When we come to the house of God, either we are washed or we leave with the same filth we had when we come in the doors. I want to leave washed myself. I said, I want to leave washed. And that can only be done by the preaching of the word. Now, watch them. Sensibly translates a word that means moderate or reasonable with the implication that the person is aware of what is best in a particular situation. The third qualifier seemingly translates a word that pertains to being proper or suitable and thus contributing to one's attractiveness and being respected by others. So all of these descriptions tie in to what your real identity is. A sample of how these are translated in some English translations shows this in a relationship. I won't mention, I'll just abbreviate them here. The TEV, modest, sensible, properly. REB, becoming modestly, soberly. NIV, modestly and decency and propriety. In our SV, modestly and decently and suitable clothing. The TNT, becoming manner and taste and modesty. The PHP, women should be dressed neatly, their adornment being modesty and serious-mindedness. Amen. Is a woman dressed seriously whenever she goes out with a pair of breeches on? A miniskirt? No. Is she in her right mind? No. She might be a PhD. She may have 47 degrees in psychology. She's insane. Now, not by the psychiatric part. Spiritually insane. Spiritually insane. Now, watch this. Let's go back to a Baptist preacher. Immodest dress is anything that is designed or intended to sexually attract or call attention to oneself. So when Christian women are looking at buying and wearing a particular item, they must always ask themselves questions like this. Why am I doing this? Why am I wearing this? And why is this particular piece of clothing designed the way it is? Do y'all know any Holy Ghost designers? Y'all know any Holy Ghost designers from Broadway? Hollywood? Los Angeles? You might find one in Telford. I don't know, maybe. You know any Holy Ghost designers that are millionaires? You know any Holy Ghost designers that have all these shows where they walk up and down through that? Can you imagine having some of our message sisters walk up and down them things? They'd get down and roll. they would roll, they would laugh, they would ridicule and make fun of you. Right? Dress godly and holy in your hair. Why? Because they're so anointed by the designer himself. That's right. Now watch this. Why do women and girls wear makeup? Why is it expected that females wear makeup? Face and eye painting has its origins in prostitution. It is used by females today for the same reason that it was and is used by prostitutes. Of course, you realize today that men started wearing makeup now. They got salons and all that stuff for men going and have their fingernails done. Have blue around their eyes and black. I could probably help with that. My way of putting it on might not quite be as delicate as you're used to. Lord, children, what are we coming to? Lord Jesus, get us out of this insane world. My, it is used by females today for the same reason it was used by prostitutes. Just one look at makeup advertisements confirm this. It is to make the person more attractive. That a woman put on makeup to make them look modest. More humble. Shamefaced. The way some of them look, they look like a shame. Is it to make them more godly, more holy, more reverent, more sincere? Is it to sacrifice? All the above will condemn every woman who does it. You expect sinners to do it, friends. But folks who claim to be Christians, folks who've sat around the revealed word of the hour and did it. God have mercy. What's this? It is also very telling to note that high-heeled shoes were designed to make women walk in a certain provocative, mincing way. This old boy needs to make a tour around the message. It'd be awful to get a Baptist thrown out of a message, church. Why does a preacher preach against shorts and miniskirts? Well, once again, the word modest or katastole, long flowing garment, neither shorts or miniskirts are long. What's now? Are long and shorts do not flow. The Greek word katastole is a long flowing garment. Miniskirts don't flow. Shorts don't flow. Breeches on a woman don't flow. Unless you take my advice from last week and take them off and we'll put them in the creek and watch them flow down the river. So why do men preach in it? Because they don't want to see you go to hell. Why do these modern, oh my, why do these modern sin-loving men and all this, that, and other want to do it? Because they're eat up with lust. They want to satisfy their own dirty lust to see their wives dressed like that. Oh my, another YouTube video, I guess. A katastole is a long and flowing garment. The second reason why shorts and miniskirts would be inappropriate for a woman is because the Bible specifically says that when a woman's thighs show, she is naked. The thigh goes from your hip to somewhere in the knee. So if a woman dresses in such a way where that part of her body is exposed, the Bible says she is naked. Mini skirts expose that part of the body. Thus, if a woman wears a mini skirt, she is naked. And shorts, they expose that part of the body. And the Bible says in Isaiah the chapter 47, if she shows that part of the body, she would be naked. Naked! Wretched, blind, miserable, and don't know it. Oh my. Therefore, shorts and the miniskirt would be immodest because they're not long and because they expose nakedness. And as I said, the thigh goes down into the knee. So the only way to guarantee that the thigh is not exposed is to wear a skirt or dress that goes below the knee. Boy, this is really complicated, ain't it? This is really hard to grasp. Man, it's way out there. It's so simple that a fool ought to be able to understand it. So those of you that don't, I'm not sure where that puts you. In the Bible days, women did not wear crotched garments. Pants have a crotch. Men in the Bible days wore crotch garments. Not only that, women in any society did not wear pants until the close of the middle of this century. Pants are called breeches in the Bible, and breeches were worn exclusively by men for the first 5,950 years of human existence. Woo! Which means that up to about 50 years ago, even the garments worn by men and women in Bible days were different. The women wore a long flowing robe, and men wore a shorter, tighter robe. Underneath the woman's robe would be nothing. Underneath the man's robe would be a pair of short pants that would go down to the knees. So now they don't tell them what you'll say, man. You may say a man in a woman's clothes, a woman in a man's clothes, or monkey clothes, or they don't tell them what you're going to wear now. There ain't no telling. I mean, there is absolutely no telling what people are going to wear. Come on. Why? They're totally insane for it. Watch this. This guy says, what about long-length skirts? It flows. It is modest. However, the word used for modest is katastole, which is long and flowing, and a word that would be used in the Greek for a floor-length gown would be poteris. Since the word for modest is katastole and not poteris, the garment has to be long, but not, notice now, not necessarily floor length. Do our sisters all have to wear their dresses down to the floor to be modest? They do not. Now, if we impose that, we're just as bad as the ones on the other side. Paul did not use the one to the floor, but he said that which was modest, katastole, which will be a long flowing garment. Long would be somewhere in between the knee and the floor, but it doesn't necessarily have to go to the floor. So if you want to wear a floor length skirt or dress, that is fine. There is nothing wrong with it, but it's not absolutely necessary. Just because your skirt goes to the floor and the other lady's skirts go halfway down their calf, that doesn't make you more spiritual than she is. I wish I could get this guy's address. I'm going to send him a church age book. He ain't too far from the kingdom, is he? What about tight skirts? I've seen a lot of women with tight skirts. I went to a Bible college where we had rules. Women had to wear dresses and skirts. They weren't allowed to wear slacks. But let me tell you, a lot of those girls wore some pretty tight dresses and skirts. You could see every curve on their body. Was that modest? No. Because it didn't flow. If it flowed, it wouldn't show the figure. Was it shamefaced? No, because the shamefacedness is to dress in such a way not as to draw attention to the figure. Friend, what is hard about this? What is complicated about understanding it? Brother Branham said, you preachers, tell them women they can bob their hair and wear their pants. You'll suffer in the regions of the lost. You people on your websites, you businessmen, whatever you are, ain't even called to handle God's word. Trying to convince these people, contrary to the word of God, you'll suffer in the regions of the lost. Friends, hold them accountable. You're going to listen to somebody. You better see what trust God's put in them. Don't you just listen to somebody because they say something. Don't you listen to somebody talk or preach or their website or whatever. Hold them accountable. See what God has given them. If God ain't given them nothing, you better not give them nothing either. If God hasn't entrusted them with something, you better stay away from them. Come on. Don't you understand that's one of the flaws of the move as it was in the days of Moses when the Dathan and Korah and Abiram raised up? The people did not make them accountable for nothing. They had no supernatural vindication. They had no miracles. They had nothing. All they had was words. And the people believed them words over a vindicated prophet of God because the people did not hold them accountable. Hold these people accountable and let them prove that God's with them. If these people have got a new message that Brother Branham was a false prophet and a liar, then Almighty God is obligated to vindicate what they're saying is the truth. And if God don't vindicate it, it means they are liars. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they come from. God stands with His Word. And if God don't prove it, they are telling you a lie. Now watch this. Is it modest only if it goes below the knee or not tight or reveals the form of the figure? Of course, men who are sin-loving pigs want women to wear pants and mini skirts. That tells why some of these backslidden men from the Message want their wives dressed this way. They're sin-loving pigs. It is sinful for women to wear pants or mini skirts. Woo! Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that it's wrong for a woman to be attractive, but the Word of God clearly teaches that a godly woman should desire to attract men to her character rather than her body. Can't you see what the church is doing? The church wants to attract people to what? Their body. Their assembly, their cakewalks, their coffee in the basement, their donuts after church. Can't you see it's a perfect parallel? Can they attract people to the supernatural? Most of them have none. Can they attract people to a new birth? They can't produce none. Can they attract you by supernatural of God? They cannot. So what does the church do? It attracts them by their body, their big building, their society, their social network. It's doing the same thing the woman is doing. But the bride, oh, glory! The bride ain't attracting God by her body. But I heard the prophet say today, what attracts God's attention is when the bride keeps the word. The bride knows her body ain't nothing no how. What can we give to Him compared to what He has? Praise the Lord! As American society becomes more apostate, homosexualized, promiscuous, and adulterous, the biblical teaching of modesty is increasingly scorned with utter contempt. Indeed, pants on women is obscene by biblical standards, and is a form of obscenity which encourages men to lust. Let the heathen rage. If they don't like the truth, God is still on His throne. Let me close with this. He says, the bottom line is that pants on women cause people to lust. Now, years ago, it was mainly men. But it ain't so anymore. Women will lust after women. With sinful, adulterous thoughts, Matthew 5:28. Do you think it's mere coincidence that homosexuality, child molesting, rape, all sorts of other sexual sins have become prevalent in the United States within the past couple of decades? It is our sex-crazed American society. That's why condoms are being passed out in public school children. And they don't even need your permission as parents to do it. Let me read you a bit of history and we'll stop. Ephesus was a wealthy commercial city. Some women there competed against each other for attention and popularity. In that day, expensive hairdos arrayed with costly jewelry were an accepted way to get to the top socially. Paul admonished the Christian women to major on the inner person, the true beauty that only Christ can give. He did not forbid the use of nice clothing or ornaments. He urged balance and propriety with the emphasis on modesty and holy character from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. The women who came to the Christian assemblies in Ephesus arraigned themselves in costly attire. Can't you see why Paul is dealing with this? These women had been former Ephesian believers or Ephesian people. Now they become converted and they're bringing some of their ways right into the message. Well, if it was acceptable, why blast it? If it was okay, if it didn't matter, then bring it on in, sisters. It wasn't acceptable then. It's not acceptable now. If Ephesian fashion was wrong then worldly Johnson City fashion is wrong tonight. My. Christian assemblies in Ephesus arrayed themselves in costly attire, sometimes made unbecoming display of their personal charms. So the custom was becoming the sensation, if not the scandal of the city. And you know, these women suppose they've been converted and they're coming to church, and instead of being able to worship God, everybody's looking at their hairdos. Let's stand. Adorned in modesty. And keep in your mind when you think of this, we're paralleling about a bride too. A bride adorned in modesty. Not dressed up in the garments of Laodicea, blind, wretched, miserable, naked, poor, and don't know it. But she went to him and bought eye salve. She used to be blind, but as Jesus rubbed the spittle into the dirt, made mud out of it, and rubbed it on the blind man's eyes, and his came open. So we went to the eye salve store and bought some Malachi 4 eye salve. And we went to rub it on our eyes, and ours come open too. Of course, it's hard for us to tell everybody else who don't have their eyes open what we see. Can you imagine for you and I to explain to a person who's blind, who's never seen a tree? How would you go about it? How would you describe the congregation here tonight, or describe your drive to church to a blind person who's never seen it? There's so much that we'd take for granted. It'd probably be amazing how much that we would leave out. And we wouldn't know how to describe it exactly in words, because our senses and our sight declare so much to us. For us to verbally express it, we'd probably make it so vain and so dull unless we really got into it. Can you imagine people who hear these sermons or read you in the Bible or hear Brother Bam say these things? I said, this is crazy. Well, that beats all I ever say. That's a bunch of nonsense. They got the women under bondage. Really? Now, I'll tell you what I want you sisters to do. I want us to condemn every liar that's saying that our women are under bondage. How many of you sisters in this church are free in Christ Jesus by this word? Would you please raise your hands? Brothers, would you please scan this audience, please? Now, for the Sodom series on YouTube, part 282 or whatever they're up to now, I would like for you to show this. How many sisters are beat? Have I ever whipped any of you? Threatened you? Have the deacons ever threatened you to make you dress this way? What about your husbands? Any of your husbands beat you to make you dress this way? You mean you ladies, and I do say ladies, you ladies choose to dress this way? Would you please raise your hands? By your own choice. Free moral agency, the whole thing. Liars, liars, liars. That preach our women, or say our women are in bondage. They are free. Free. Free.
As a matter of fact, some of you sisters are so free. When Brother Branham was carried beyond the curtain of time. The first ones to meet him when he was a little boy and was carried down into hell was women. The first ones to meet him when he was carried beyond the curtain of time in the sixth dimension was women. They wasn't slapping him in the face. You're the awfulest, meanest, cantankerous. I hate you. I hated the way you listened to our precious brother. Our precious brother.
Glory. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Why was they saying such a thing? Because they were free. They were loosed from the immodest dress. They were loosed from the denominational thinking. And they were coming to that prophet of God to embrace him. And thank him for telling them the truth.
Praise God. We got a couple that's going to be baptized tonight. If they'll come, prepare for it. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you appreciate his goodness, friends? I heard him say it today, Demas Shakarian. Before Brother Branham got up to preach, Demas Shakarian had said, given a testimony, that he'd been in Brother Branham's meetings for years and years and years. And he would stand there in front of the people and they'd come up and hand their prayer card. So he wanted to read what was on the prayer card before Brother Branham discerned them. And he said, of the hundreds that he had looked at, there had never been one that was wrong. And you can hear him in behind Brother Branham saying this, saying, that's exactly right. So those of you that are against it and say he was so wrong, when you have your prayer line and you do your prayer cards and you miss none, then I might sit down and watch your video. I didn't say I would now, I said I might. And if he did that being so wrong and you're so right, I can't imagine what you're going to do. Oh, I imagine you're going to turn the world upside down if he was so wrong and so ignorant compared to you, smarty pants. Then I'm waiting to see what you're going to do. Men Silas is still waiting on you to accept our invitation too. Praise God. Brother Donnie, ain't you afraid? I'm not. Because I know in whom I've believed. I'll die for this message, friends. I'm willing to stake my soul, my destination, my eternal destination.
Praise God.
Let's sing together Amazing Grace. Are they prepared?
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
praise God.
I was so blind, but now thank God I can see through.
Church, praise God, praise God. How did you get this song?
Grace, oh, it was grace, saved us from, and grace.
God now. Let's raise our hands, close our eyes.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Father, we enter the water tonight with my sister here, Lord, Sister Donna Pistole. Many of us know her, Lord. She's come tonight, Lord, repenting of her sins, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, she comes believing your promise. So, Father, I ask, Lord, that you just simply keep your word and reveal yourself to her in the simple truth that you do not lie. And you do not change. What you did at the day of Pentecost, you'll do today. And Lord, we're believing on that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sister, take your hand. Put your other hand on this. Sister Donna, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Josh Pistole, you all know him. Our brother comes tonight seeking the promise of the word as well. Let's all pray for him. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I lay hands on my brother, Lord, and I ask that you help him, Lord, now to receive by faith the promise that you've made to him. As he comes forward tonight, Lord, repenting of his sins, Lord, I just ask that you let your presence be known and you fill him with your spirit. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Having communion service this Saturday night, let's come back expecting the Lord to meet with us again. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Appreciate you, saints. Love him with all of our hearts. Amen. Amen. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. When the battle's
troubles over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. In that new Jerusalem, we'll wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shiny crown. When this battle's over, we shall wear a crown. In that new
we'll wear a bright and shining crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown
in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining. Thank you.